25 years on the PGA Tour and a lifetime member of the PGA Tour and PGA of America. Jay Delsing brings you his perspective on one of the world's greatest games as a professional golfer and network broadcaster. It's the game that connects the pros and the average Joes. Brought to you by Whitmore Country Club. Golf with Jay Delsing is now on 101 ESPN.
Good morning. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay Delsing. With me is my buddy, longtime friend, caddy, John Perlis. Perley, good morning.
Good morning, Jay. Glad to be here.
Well, we formatted the show just like a round of golf. The opening segment we call the On the Range segment. It's brought to you by Golf Discount. Golf Discount is where St. Louis shouts for all of its golf needs. Perley, let's get our social media fix out of the way, because we both love social media so much. I know you're constantly taking pictures of your food and telling everybody what you're doing. So our Twitter handle is at Jay Delsing. Facebook is Golf with Jay Delsing and Jay Delsing Golf. LinkedIn is just Jay Delsing. And wow, it's a lot of Jay Delsings at the beginning of the show. And our Instagram account is, okay, let's go. Instagram. You have an Instagram account, right?
I don't.
Mead, do you got an Instagram account?
I've never had an Instagram account.
Okay. Well, good.
I heard it's in, though.
It's popular.
Okay.
That's probably why we
lit. That's what the kids say.
It's lit in here.
Well, you got to be woke to even be able to have an Instagram account.
Yeah, that's right. Well, so Perley, you're here today.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Fantastic. Mead, was it weird to see Perley walk in the building?
I didn't recognize him at first.
I know. Yeah. I mean, like, wow. Oh, that's pretty awesome.
So you guys still try to carry on a show without me?
We're trying, but it's not working very well.
I would guess it wouldn't. I get why I'm getting the pushback, because it's just tough to continue on.
Right, it is. So welcome back, man, and we feel great about having you. So let's talk about this. We got a lot of neat stuff to cover on the show. Solheim Cup didn't go our way this year. We had Julie on. We talked about it. We got to cover it a little bit. Some mm-hmm. really interesting stuff happened in there. We got a new edition of Whack and Chase on the Mike Duffy 19th hole. Got an update from Phil Franks, our buddy that's in the race car business and helping to end Alzheimer's. Really neat stuff from Phil. And we talked a little bit about a couple weeks ago about the young studs that are playing the tour, the young guys. We got Matthew Wolf, we got Colin Morikawa, and Victor Hovland, and we may have overlooked this young man from Chile, Joaquin Niemann. So we'll talk a little bit about him and also remind St. Louis about a cool golf event coming for the next 4 years. So let's start, Pearl, let's start with the Solheim Cup. Julie came on. It's nice for her to come on the show. She's gone out there and won the prior two cups, one over in Germany and one in Iowa, and they went over to Scotland. And did you get to look at the weather at all?
Every time I turned it on, it was brutal, and they were hitting shots all over the place. I felt terrible for them. You know, weather's going to be part of the game, but it was wreaking havoc on that play.
Well, and what Julie said, because she had a very young team, you know, and she went out on a limb with some of her picks, and she said, man, I thought about this and thought about this, and of all the things that could happen, this was the thing that she dreaded the most. So the golf course they were playing, they figured was going to kind of be a birdie fest if normal weather. But, you know, you played in Europe. I played in Europe. Yeah. You can get anything. Not only did they get wind, but they got Arctic cold temperatures.
It was freezing out there. It was freezing. It was miserable. And as any avid watcher of the game, when there's wind, that's like the one thing that the golf gods can kind of get back at. You know, right. You guys are so good, the ladies are so good, that almost any conditions, but you win. And then I'd say maybe one of the next ones might be cold.
I agree.
You know, I really hadn't actually thought about that, because you don't see that all that often. But I think, and then of course the combination of the two, the rain you can get by, especially with a great caddy.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I have enough towels and a big enough umbrella.
Right.
And I'm paying attention.
Right.
But that's kind of hard. But you can get by with that. But not when it's raining all day and you're freezing and it's windy. No. And you know what? If it's really windy, you're not going to keep everything dry anyway.
No. No, but it's just a matter of time, right? We've had that discussion. We try to slow down a lot in that
yes.
rain. But Okay, so let's just kind of lay this thing out. So it's a hell of a match. It's a hell of a match.
Well, the final score was 14-5, 13-5. So, right. I mean, it was
okay,
there.
So we go to the 18th hole. Suzanne Pettersson has got an 8-foot putt for birdie to win her match against Maria Alex. The score is tied 13.5, 13.5. And if she misses, the match goes to 14-14, and whomever won the year before retains the cup. So that would have been U.S. wins.
Mm-hmm.
She makes this putt. Suzanne Pettersson, by the way, was a captain's pick and has had an awful time of golf. Awful time of golf.
Well, she's also one of the more controversial ones out there, too, with her surly attitude.
Yeah,
is that how you would
yeah,
say
antics,
it?
And she's yeah, a yeah. little, there's some gamesmanship.
I mean, competitive as heck. There's a lot of things I really like about her.
There's no doubt.
But she's, a couple of years ago, I can't remember quite what the controversy was.
It was in the Solheim Cup as well. Yeah. It was over a putt that shouldn't have been, that wasn't conceded, and it was like 6 inches long, and one of the U.S. players picked it up, and she goes, I didn't give that to you.
And I remember her partner, one of the English girls, she got all upset. She was so uncomfortable that her partner had done that, even though they won the hole. I think she was actually visibly crying. She had a tough time handling the whole thing.
And if you
thing.
Look back at that, that was in Germany two cups ago, and it was a turning point in the match, and the U.S. made a strong comeback and won that match. But
a little karma. There was a little karma action back then.
So Suzanne Pettersson knocks this putt in. Supreme joy, all these jumping around. And what does she do? Retired from the game.
No way.
She retired from the game.
She won't. She won't. Too competitive. I think she just started a family, and she got some other things going on. So I think there's some other stuff going on. There's no way. She's way too talented. She's way too young. I'm placing a golf ball bet here with you. Yeah. A sleeve of golf balls that she's absolutely coming back.
Well, let me ask you this. Coolest way to retire?
That would be a great way.
You make this putt. You're playing for your country, your whole squad. She makes it and then says, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so hard to think of, I don't know. You know, I've struggled with this, thinking of retiring. It's just, oh, man, there's that thing that says athletes kind of die two deaths. It's when No question. When you think about your playing and your competitive days coming to an end, it's just not easy to deal with.
Well, especially it's that age as well, and how exciting it was, and making a transition. So she'll find. Maybe she'll do a radio show over in Sweden or something like that to kind of keep her golf game going.
Maybe so. Hell, it can't be that hard. You and I are trying to throw it in there. So. Yeah, anyway, I just thought that was pretty cool. Felt it for Julie.
Yeah.
I mean, they're right there. And the fact that she knocked a putt in, you got to take your hat off to her. The fact that she retired, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Is that going to happen or not? So, okay, so let's talk about our buddy Phil Franks, who Logistics is his company. They do legal documents all around the world. This guy is one cool dude. So... His wife has been stricken with this horrible Alzheimer's disease, and he has had a race team, and they decided to forego a bunch of advertising on their car. And what he's going to do, to memorialize or to just honor, his wife is still battling the disease, their names and their birthdays.
Mm. Love it.
So what happened was they've got 89 names on their car this year. They also had something really cool. The number 82 BMW from Bimmer World. They were their teammates last season. They made room on their car for 23 names. And all those names are getting matched by Phil's company and by... James Clay, who's the CEO of Bimmer World. And so, it's just really cool. He and his driver, Nick, were interviewed on Torque Show, hosted by Tommy Kendall and Justin Bell. And it was just great publicity for this thing. And in a great sign of solidarity and sportsmanship, over 40 cars had the race to end Alzheimer badges displayed on their cars in support and running around the track.
That's awesome.
So,
well, you always said that he's a mover and a shaker. He makes things happen. He sticks with it. He's creative.
He absolutely does.
It's things that people can kind of jump on with and support. That's awesome.
Yeah, they're in sixth place in the championship, so they're kind of out of it for winning the thing. But there's one more race in October. It's October 12th, Road Atlanta. It's only $250 to donate to this great cause. All the funds are matched with their charitable partners at UCLA and the Jim Nance National Alzheimer's Center. I mean, we got to mention Jim. Jim's on this. Let me mention this website, too. It's you can go to facebook.com/philip.frangs, and it's F-R-E-N-G-S. Or you go to their website. It is R, the letter R, and then it's the number 2, and endalz.org. So go to that. Check it out. It's really cool. $250. You can get a name of a loved one or some friend or family member that's struggling with this horrible disease. These CEOs are matching your donations. They're going to UCLA. Jim Nance's father, one of the reasons Jim Nance started his golf broadcast, Hello Friends, was in honor of his dad and this Alzheimer's disease. And they were always making new friends, and they got to a point where his dad would listen to the golf broadcast but didn't know why he was listening to it. It's, man, it's really tough stuff, but these guys are doing great work.
Great work, absolutely. You know,
and we're all just fortunate, Pearl, that we don't have this in our families.
Nope.
All right, so that was kind of cool. All right, so, you know, there's a golf tournament coming to St. Louis.
Yep.
4 years. Full field event. And
can you announce it yet?
I can't announce
teasing.
It yet. I know, I'm teasing.
Long are you supposed to tease
it's
for?
It's going to be at Norwood.
So you are not. So now, are you teasing now, or is that true?
It is true.
Are you allowed to tell him, or did you
I'm
just
sure.
break a side of
I just felt all
silence.
The peer pressure, and I had to no. it's going to be at Norwood. 4 years. It's just going
to
be.
Now, what's Norwood going to have to do, or if anything, it's such a good golf course. What are they going to have to do to prep for it? Are they going to have to be changed anything? Is there any new tees? Going to change any greens around?
Yeah, I don't think they're not going to have to do anything with the tees. They're not going to have to do anything with the greens. They have the best greens in the state year in and year out. But there are going to be some trees taken down, which is actually going to be a good thing. And if you talk to the superintendents that really know what's going on, there's the trees are gorgeous, and you hate to see them go, but they interfere with their roots interfere with the greens and things like that.
They should go regardless of this tournament coming.
That's right, and this is going to be a great way and reason for them to go. And then when you get to go out to Norwood or any place like Belle Reve and see the structures that are built and the stands and all the hospitality, it's really awesome.
That's awesome. That's exciting. It's such a great facility, and I think the guys will love it. Spectators will love it. What's the biggest event? I think the years and years ago, didn't they have some big events there?
PGA Championship.
Well, that's pretty big. Yep. What year was that?
It was the 35th PGA Championship. I think it was 1948.
Okay, so
and
quite,
you know
quite
who
a
won?
While ago.
Ben Hogan.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So there's going to be plenty of talk about that, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's going to wrap up the on the range segment. Come back, and we're going to jump on the front nine. This is Golf with Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN.
Doster, Olam & Boyle, LLC are a proud sponsor of Golf with Jay Delsing here on 101 ESPN. The firm was started in January 2015 by Mike Doster, Jess Olam, and John Boyle, three veterans of the St. Louis real estate, banking, commercial, and corporate legal landscape. The firm was founded on the shared view that success should be measured by client and community satisfaction, not profits for partner. The firm's focus is on business, real estate, corporate, finance and restructuring, and succession planning. Since its founding in 2015, Doster, Olam & Boyle have been involved in real estate, business, and corporate transactions with a combined value in excess of over $1 billion. For decades, Doster, Olam & Boyle lawyers have been recognized as leaders in their practice areas by their peers. Doster, Olam & Boyle, LLC. Extraordinary talent, ordinary people. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
I want to thank Whitmore Country Club for sponsoring my show, Golf with Jay Delsing. There's 90 holes of golf at Whitmore. If you join out at Whitmore, you get privileges at the Missouri Bluffs, the Links of Dardenne, Golf Club of Wentzville, and all the cart fees are included in that membership. There's no food and beverage minimums and no assessments ever. They've got a great 24-hour fitness center, a large pool complex, 3 tennis courts, a year-round social calendar that is rocking out at Whitmore. There's kids' clubs, junior golf, junior tennis, swim team available for your children. This is a family-friendly atmosphere, a wonderful staff, and you've got to go to the golf shop and visit my friend, Bummer. He is an absolute treat. Don't forget about the golf leagues, their skin games, members' tournaments. Bummer and the staff out of Whitmore are continually running cool and fun golf events for you and your family. Visit their website at whitmoregolf.com. I want to welcome my newest sponsor to Golf with Jay Delsing. It's Golf Discount. Golf Discount is where St. Louis has shopped for its golf equipment since 1976. Golf Discount has been and still is locally owned. They employ the most experienced staff you'll find anywhere. There are two locations, one in South County just off of Lime Ferry, and one in O'Fallon at Highways K and N. Golf Discount fits your custom equipment to your swing using the state-of-the-art GC Quad Launch Monitor. This ensures that perfect fit that you're looking for. Go to Golf Discount for all your golfing needs.
You're listening to Golf with Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN. You can find Jay online at jaydelsinggolf.com.
Welcome back to Golf with Jay Delsing. I am your host, Jay. I got Pearly here with me, and we are going to the front nine segment. Okay, so John, we got to talk about this. We gave some props to the younger guys, these young studs that are coming up on the tour, won golf tournaments, and we got a new name to add to that list. 20-year-old guy from Chile. His name is Joaquin Niemann. He's from Santiago. He's already made $4 million in his career. He's played 44 events on tour, 9 top tens. How's that sound?
Amazing. And it just kind of a thin, hard story. I'm trying to remember the first time I saw him. I think he was like the South American amateur stuff, yep. And he qualified. Didn't he get in the Masters maybe even?
Yeah, I think he did. I think you're right. Yeah. He played well there, and he's turned – I think this is his third year. I mean, can you imagine playing on the PGA Tour when you're 18 years old? It's just rocking. I mean, it's just fantastic.
And already having a win.
I know. He's 20 years old. He's got to win. He's got to be in that conversation, that same conversation with Matthew Wolf and Morikawa and Hovland. And just, you know, you look at the PGA Tour and you look at how this thing is fed through the international golf programs.
Exactly.
The college programs. I mean, these guys are so –
they're so ready when they come up. You know, that's, you know, again, he's had 5 or 6 years of incredibly high quality competition, probably throughout the world, even coming into this thing. And to my point, I'm just looking up now, 154 pounds. And the guy absolutely smashes it. And he's just a skinny nothing. And he just plays
very wiry
plays it big
and,
time.
And similar stature to like Justin Thomas. You know, and just smashes a great short game. Clearly, I mean, you don't make $4 million without having a lot of your ducks in a row.
Plus, having that win is so incredibly impressive to get that under your belt. You know, when you watch it on TV, it's hard to understand how tough it is to get that win. It's truly unbelievable. And then when they come out super young and do that, and we've had a couple of those the last couple of years. That's the part, and it changes their world. All of a sudden, they got to feel like they're belonging. Obviously, gives them a couple years exemption. That way, there's a whole different place to play from 2 years worth of exemption than chasing it and worrying about getting your card all the time.
Right, Pearl. And there's also the contractual stuff that are going to come in. Now, all of a sudden, you're a PGA Tour winner, and everything just gets multiplied, and you're going to get so much of these things thrown at you. We got to talk while we're talking about these youngsters. We've got to talk. Last at the Sanderson Farms, we spotlighted this young guy, who's taken a different path to the PGA Tour. His name is Asuke Bhatia. Mm-hmm. This young man has decided, I'm not going to college. I'm going to turn pro, and I'm going to play. I'm going to just play golf. Number one ranked amateur in the world.
What do you think about that, him going straight, Jay?
You know what, John? I can't say that I think it's a great idea. I really can't. I mean, I just don't understand why you wouldn't. The college experience is, I mean, did we have any fun at UCLA?
We had a lot of fun, some level of maturity going in there. And I think you talked about this a while ago. Kevin Na, what did he come up with as far as saying, hey, he regretted it? He absolutely regretted it.
Kevin Na did the same thing, and Kevin Na had so much growing up to do. I'm not going to tell you the stories, but didn't endear himself to me and several others. He just didn't understand. And think about it, though. I mean, Kevin Na is a Korean-American and just had his parents closely by everything he did. You know, it just was uncomfortable.
You could just tell there wasn't that maturity, which is kind of nice to see now. Guy's a great player now. And now when he's kind of come into his own, he has maturity. He handles himself better in different situations. And you're kind of happy for the guy now. But for the longest time, it was just kind of tough to watch that.
It was tough to watch it. So Bhatia, man, it's just makes you wonder about this youth movement on the PGA Tour. He played down at Sanderson Farms. Now, he did not make the cut. The cut fell at 3 under par. And this 18-year-old shot even par. So he missed by 3. And has followed him closely. He just signed a new contract with Callaway. So Callaway swooped right in and said, yeah, we're going to go ahead and support this. And you mentioned this. You were talking about George Gankus, the swing coach.
That's who this
guy works with on his golf swing. Yeah, so it's just interesting to kind of track these guys. We did this earlier on a Champions Tour kind of update, Pearl. We were going to look and follow Hal Sutton because we talked about wanting to end the game and leave the game properly. Do you remember that?
Yep.
We talked about that. Man, that was months and months. That was even in the winter months. And unfortunately, I mean, we can pull up what Hal's done on the Champions Tour, and it's been it has not gone the way he's wanted it to go. He was hoping to get he lost a bunch of weight. He was hoping to find his game, and he didn't find his game. He didn't find much. And it's just
you know
brutal.
How tentative it is at that point. There's a lot going on. It's that transition in career. It's that transition age-wise, how the bodies change from that 55 to 65 range.
Oh, well, we're experiencing it as it goes, and it's not pretty.
But, I mean, there's a lot. Your body's got to hold up to be able to make it out there.
Right.
And I don't know. Recently, I haven't seen him as far as how much he's taken care of himself. And some of the guys can really not be that fit and somehow kind of keep on going. So, but you don't need much of an injury or much of an ailment to hold you back from being able to compete out there.
No, I totally agree. Let's talk about something. So, this topic, I mean, the Champions Tour. Every year these guys turn 50. John, you know, there's a new set of people turning 50, and some guys come out and just tear it up. You got a guy like Chris DeMarco. He's not beating anybody.
No.
You get a guy like Sean McKeel. You know, he had an interesting career, won the PGA Championship.
But some of those guys, let me ask you.
Yeah.
So either one of those, they didn't play that much at the end of their regular career up to 50. I'll tell you what, you step out of that competition, that lifestyle for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, and then, I'm just going to go tee it up and I'm going to be back in the game and ready for that competition. I think it's just really, really a lot to ask.
Oh, my God. There's no question. We talked about this for me.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I wound up grinding my way over on, at the time, the Nationwide, you know, playing against all those. I'll never forget calling you one time. You're like, hey, nice plan. I'm like, thanks. I played with two guys that were 23 years old, and I'm 49.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you imagine
but if you're not out there, our big thing with you was get the competition. You got to get out there and get the reps. And if it happens to be on the Nationwide or a state open, then so be it. But to not get in that habit of having to hit a certain tee shot, having to hit a putt, having to hit a tough shot over a bunker, and then you're going to just play with your buddies and then go out there and start playing on the tour?
No,
I'll
happening.
Tell you what, very seldom. It
not
happens, happening. But very, very seldom.
You know, another buddy, Scott Dunlop, who he continued to play.
I was
his guys
say,
are
he's
playing
grinded.
Machine.
He's been grinding, playing forever.
And he went out there and it's just done wonderful.
Uh-huh.
It's just
but
had
that
a
doesn't
great
overly
career.
Surprise me.
No.
That's very much him. He is a journeyman golfer, great player, and just kind of kept on going for forever. You know, you didn't see his name for a bunch. You and I knew where he was because we were around him once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think it's fantastic that he's having a great senior tour career, and I think it's one of those very much deserving. He worked to be in that position.
Yeah, yep, he sure did. All right, cool. There is October's kind of we talked about this with the wraparound season. Do we like the – I don't know. We're all over the place. It's golf. There's good golf. If you're some of the sponsors and the wraparound events in, you know, September, October, mm-hmm. November, how are you feeling? I mean, it's hard to get a draw. Your field isn't strong. I don't know.
First of all, and that's sad because there's great golf, absolutely great golf. But are the names that we're used to getting, you know, plugged all the nonstop? So last week's where am I at here? Northern Trust, is that what I'm thinking, Jay? No, Sanderson Farm.
Yep.
So Munoz, M, On, Streelman, Ortiz. I mean,
right.
That's unfortunately not going to draw.
And folks, those were the top five finishers.
They can absolutely play.
They can play their ass off.
They don't get.
It's not about the quality of golf. It's just about the star power, and people love the star power. Well, here's something that'll get your attention, star power wise. In Japan, there's a new event, October 21st, called the Challenge, Japan Skins. How's this for a foursome? We got Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Hideki Matsuyama, and Jason Day. I mean, I it's so cool. It'll be a fun thing to watch. It'll really be a fun thing to watch. Matsuyama is a rock star in Japan. He's only 23 years old or something. Girl, he is just his rhythm astounds me. He almost takes a full second pause at the top of his swing throughout the bag.
Very unconventional, but God, that guy can play, he can get hot.
I covered him two of the 4 days that did the U.S. Open at Erin Hills, and he was just brilliant around the greens. Had a top five finish, I think, there, and I was just so impressed with the power matched with his ability to knock a putt in, and it's pretty.
And how well he's done on this tour, and you know, again, they do talk about it once in a while to their credit, but to come from Japan, come from another country, and then maneuver around this country, and I think his English is minimal, if any, and just to make all that happen and play at that high level, I think is just spectacular.
Yeah, no, it is. It is spectacular. And Jason Day's been an interesting story. Didn't have a year that he's all that excited about. And, you know, there's a bunch of news, for lack of a better term, being made about Steve Williams coming to caddy for him. You know, Steve Williams is the most successful athlete from New Zealand.
He's a race car driver too, though, right?
Yeah.
Does that count as athlete?
Either? So you got
golfer, race car driver,
I don't know,
and
man.
Caddy,
you're talking
actually,
about a pair of sixes to draw from. That's not good. But
he's a fun guy, though, and obviously he's seen some pretty special golf in his last 20 or so years.
Yeah, that's right. He could write several books.
Yeah, and probably shouldn't though.
Yeah, and hopefully he won't. But he and Jason Day split up, and he said, you know, it just wasn't working. This trying to blend the old style and the new style, because Steve Williams had this, they called it a style in the article I read, but it just a way that he thought this thing needed to go and needed to play, and it just didn't.
It's not up to him.
Nope. It isn't up to him.
That's always a bit of a problem.
Yeah, it is, especially when, you know, you've had the sort of success that Steve Williams had, but now you're not driving the car, man.
Right.
You're not.
Right.
You're not. This isn't your boat. However, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but this player has to be able to express it the way he wants to.
I think so.
And if you start getting, you know what, Pearl, we've talked about this before where they talk about how much a team it is. But if Steve is seeing it in a different way, that can create a lot of indecision.
It's still, it's a team, but you have to play your role.
Yeah.
And to your point, I mean, it's not about that. And sometimes you can, as a caddy, plug into your player, but you can't make him feel like he should can hit that high cut five iron. If he can't feel it in his bones, he shouldn't swing at it.
Unless you can hand a club over to the caddy and say, and you were probably the best playing caddy that ever went out there.
And
you
I, could trust easily, me, I didn't want to hit that high cut five iron in that situation.
Over
anyway.
That water. Well, you know what? I've got a really cool Jack Nicklaus senior skin story we'll talk about on the back nine when we come back.
Perfect.
But that's going to wrap up. What is that called, Pearly? What do we call that
in
the radio business?
It's a tease.
Listen to us, man. We're talking about Instagram and teases. Radio teases. Let's get to wrap up the front nine. This is Golf with Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN.
Quick note, we just got a call from our friend Joe Schieser at USA Mortgage. He said the rates are still below 4%, and if you mention Golf with Jay Delsing, he'll give you a discount on your closing costs. Please call him today at 314-628-2015.
Do you folks know about a family-owned and operated jewelry business that's been in the St. Louis area since 1946? If you haven't heard the name Sutley before, well, you have now. They are the premier Hearts on Fire dealer in the metropolitan region and have been for more than 21 years. What's a Hearts on Fire diamond, you ask? It is the world's most perfectly cut diamond. The Sutleys are knowledgeable and passionate about your jewelry needs and are open 6 days a week. They will treat you like family and want to understand your wishes and desires. Their business thrives on developing personal relationships with you. Sutleys also strive to stay on top of the latest trends and fashion with amazing selection of designer jewelry from famous designers like Lagos, Zengani, Simon G, just to name a few. It's all done at Sutley. Sutley's is on the cutting edge of the diamond business, featuring the lab-grown diamonds that can cost 30 to 40% less than a mined diamond. Whether it's a Hearts on Fire, designer or custom jewelry, or even the new and innovative lab-grown diamonds, let Sutley Jewelers take care of all your jewelry needs. I have known this family for 45 years. Go in and see Gary, ask for Gus, ask for Laura. It's a family business, and they are terrific people. They're located in the Lamp and Lantern Village on Clayton Road, just west of Highway 141 in Town and Country. You can also visit them at saettele.com.
After 25 years on the PGA Tour, Jay Delsing takes you behind the scenes from the eyes of a pro. Now back to more golf with Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back to the Golf with Jay Delsing show. I'm your host, Jay. I got Pearly May here with me, and we're going to the back nine. And we got to talk a little bit about Whitmore first. How does this membership sound? You got access to 36 holes at Whitmore. And three other courses, Golf Club of Wentzville, Links at Dardenne, and Missouri Bluffs. And your golf cart fees are already included in that membership. They've never had assessments. There's no food minimums. And you get Bummer.
That's the best part of Bummer. No, you know the best part for me? I like that you have all those different golf courses to choose from.
No
that,
question.
That's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
I think, to get to move around and be a member each time. I like that.
It is. They've got skins game. Bummer and the golf shop staff run skins games and members tournaments. There's couples tournaments. There's husband wives events for the kids. They have a kids club, and that probably that is really becoming popular. Not even only in St. Louis, but around the country, where you can drop your children off. They can play golf, or they can go to the pool. They can play video games. You can take your wife or girlfriend or significant other and go have a drink or go play golf or do whatever the heck you want to do, and everybody's having a great time out there.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, it's a great family atmosphere. They've got a great swimming pool and fitness, 24-hour fitness complex. They have holiday parties. It's when you think of families and you think about where you want to go and where you want to be, it's a place like this where, you know, you and I grew up around the game, and this would have been just right in our wheelhouse.
Absolutely.
And you can find them at WhitmoreGolf.com. We were talking about the new event in Japan in October. It's October 21st. It's called the Challenge, the Japanese skins game.
Do we even have a skins game still going
on?
We
don't. In the U.S., we don't have it anymore.
Kind of wore itself out, would you say?
Yeah, it kind of did. It started with Jack and Arnold and Tom Watson and Gary Player. And Gary Player kind of infringed on a rule in Tom Watson's opinion. Do you remember this at Desert Mountain?
No.
Oh, man. Huge hullabaloo. Huge hullabaloo.
So you remember any of the facts?
Oh, I do.
Okay, let's hear a couple.
I do. There was a piece of grass that was moved that was connected still.
That was like mowed?
That wasn't supposed
was it
to
like
be.
Mowed or trimmed?
I think it was untrimmed and was kind of long and kind of in the way.
And so he mowed it or trimmed it?
He did. And,
boy.
Yeah, they didn't like that. They didn't like that. Even in a skins competition, yep. It was,
has that ever happened before?
I don't remember it happening, but I can tell you a cool story. So I had to go to Maui in January one year.
That's too bad.
That sucked. And doing some entertaining for the senior skin. So people like me, like I'm like a doo-wop singer, you know, in the background where and the main event's coming where Jack Nicklaus is coming. Nick Price was there. O'Meara, Couples, Trevino, Tom Watson. It was cool. And then I was there, you know, taking care of I was doing all the, you know, come on, let's go play 18 holes. I'll hang out with you. I loved it. Anyway, so I'm watching the skins game, and the guys are practicing and messing around, and Couples and Price are partners, and I think O'Meara's a partner with Tom Watson. I mean, it's really, really cool. And Jack is partners with Arnold, and Arnold is he's still the king. He's aged a little bit, but at this time. But Jack gets into the game, and the entire mood, the entire energy, the entire world changed.
What do you mean he got into the game? You mean he started focusing or just showed up?
He was late, and the guys were messing around, and he came. This was before the actual competition part came. Oh, Fuzzy was playing, and it was just a bunch of the names, you know, from my generation, a little before my generation, our generation. And Jack gets in there and starts, you know, practicing with them, and they're playing, and they got some little side action going on, and everybody just takes a back seat. Hmm. I've never seen that before. I mean, those egos and those guys with their game. And Jack comes in, and Jack is, you know, Jack didn't age nearly as well as Arnold did, you know, just in terms of strength and power. But Jack is still Jack, and he just had that mental thing.
Commands a certain level of attention, I suppose.
He did, and it was crazy because all of a sudden guys started missing 4-foot putts. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What's up with that? And it was pretty cool. So they come down to the stretch, and all the games are on the line. They get to this par three, and Couples is hitting like an 8-iron, and Watson's hitting like a 7-iron, and Jack pulls out like a little 5. Hits it in there about 3 feet, knocks it in, wins the whole thing.
Isn't that fascinating? I mean, the guy, he even in his much later years, he could still seem to make the putt. He could still seem to make the shot.
I know.
Awesome. You got it. You expect you're going to do it. You're going to do it.
Well, and it's something like he knew he was going to do it so much that you knew he was going to do it.
Exactly.
And it's a
that's a double whammy.
Yeah,
if you're
it is a double
him.
Whammy. Pretty cool stuff. We're not going to talk about Pat Perez's wife putting on social media the tab.
I
know.
I missed this. No, you're not going to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
So they went at dinner and in Vegas, like the MGM, four of them. What'd the bill come to? Take a guess and then just double it because you're not even going to be in a planet.
10,000.
12,000.
Oh, jeez. Some people shouldn't be allowed to go to Vegas.
Well,
of course, that's how they have those nice big buildings and everybody dressed in tuxes because people go do those kinds of things.
Yep. She took pictures of everything. Who cares?
Oh, my gosh.
Crazy. All right. But here's something I do kind of want to talk about. Player of the Year awards came out, and the players voted on their player of the year, and the nod went to Rory over Brooks. And the folks in the regular media, I wouldn't consider us we're kind of irregular media, wouldn't you say?
Are we media?
I don't know. What if you know how? Do you remember in Young Frankenstein where they had Abby Normal?
Yes, I do.
The hearts for Abby Normal. I feel like we're cutting a little more of the Abby Normal stuff. But,
well, so now has Brooks hopefully not commented on this?
Yeah, Brooks sent him a text, I guess, and said congratulations. But I guess some people were saying that this is ridiculous. And I'm thinking, how can that be ridiculous? I mean, people are feeling like Brooks got hosed out of Player of the Year.
I think they're trying to make something out of nothing. They seem to like that back and forth. I wish they would just go play golf. It gets me. Sometimes they call him instead of Brooks. Once in a while they'll miss it and call him Bruce, and then he gets like all, rolls his eyes, gets charged up. It's like, he's awesome. I love watching that guy play. Just chill, have a great time. And quit caring what anybody else thinks.
He decided that he's used all of this banter to his advantage by playing with a chip on his shoulder. He said, "I'm going to do this thing exactly the way I want to do it. And if it makes some people uncomfortable, so be it." So, what about did you see the ESPN the body issue?
Yeah.
What'd you think of that?
I don't think about that stuff. I just can't. I just can't think about that stuff. Are you talking about his body or his girlfriend's body?
Oh, I didn't see his girlfriend's body. Oh,
really? What were you focused on? I was focused on his girlfriend's body. Now, that I paid attention to. It's the one I was talking about. They had one with him and her in the same picture.
Wait a second.
I know what you're talking about.
You're looking
I don't
at
care
all
about
the smut. I'm in
no,
the sports.
No, not the smut thing. The first thing that came out about him being in his Speedo, back facing.
Oh, yeah.
And her. I'm like, I only knew about him because somebody told me.
What'd you think about her thong?
I like her whole body.
I didn't. That was.
Yeah,
that whole thing makes me. That's another social media thing. Like,
let's keep that on social media. But, just go play golf. He's so much fun to watch play golf. Yeah. He's so competitive. It's so cool, the shots, how he approaches the game. I hope we focus on that. Rory had a spectacular year.
Yeah.
I'll call it a coin flip. It depends on how much you want to give for this tournament, what weight here or what weight is that major and all that kind of stuff. Rory was absolutely phenomenal, too.
Let me ask you this about the schedule change. We talked about this probably ad nauseum for some of our listeners, but I still want to bring this up.
What do you mean schedule change? The wraparound, or you mean the major changes?
Major changes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So schedule changed and brought the PGA Championship into May. Tiger Woods, when they're playing north of the board, north of what we'll call the
Mason-Dixon line?
Yeah, I'm going to say north of Florida.
Okay.
If they're going to play, he's not going to win that championship again.
Because it's too cold, you say?
Yep. Yeah. Do you agree? What do you think of that?
Jay, I
know. Every single time I've done anything to count this guy out, he always comes back.
But I'm counting him out again. I think everything else is there. I just don't think he physically can go do it. And I think we're starting to see it wear on him mentally, emotionally.
I agree.
Because it's just like, can I get myself up and going for this again? And then he kind of thinks he's there. And then he plays a couple rounds, and then he can't keep going there.
Well, let me ask you this too: he wins the Masters. What a phenomenal accomplishment! As we all counted him out, wins another major. He plays six times after that. Really, the Masters is in April.
Yeah, how many did he play well?
None.
I don't think at all.
I mean, and the other thing, Pearl, what a difference. And what he looked like physically, looked like he was almost thrown back into that old body.
Yeah.
And all this, I thought, didn't you feel like some of the speed was gone? Some of the, just the whole vibe of it
looked like it was. It's tough. It's tough. We'd all like him to play great for 20 more years, but it's not happening.
Yeah, so great for the game, and we'll see how that all, what that looks like. I wish I could have showed you this picture. There's this place in San Antonio. They had some trouble with wild hogs. Okay, so you and I, do you remember when we were down playing at Tucson National and we saw those javelina? And they look like, I mean, so I have a dog and he's about 45 pounds. It looked like just a real scruffy kind of bigger dog, maybe a 50-pound dog. Something like that.
Kind of a round dog.
Yeah, so they had these guys are out playing golf and are like, you know, we're a little afraid of this this noise that's coming from, you know, the side of the green here. There's some bushes and we can't see, but it sounds like it could be something pretty substantial. The guys are like, just go play the game. Quit being so, you know, come on, step up. There's a 400-pound, they call it a hog. I've never seen anything like this. It's had tusks. It took three men. They got dogs. They had to track this thing. And I've never seen anything like it. And we are going to talk about it on our next show. Some of the craziest, weirdest, scariest, fun things. We're going to call it a show of extremes. This is another radio tease. And
I like that idea. And yeah. As far as the 400-pound hog, it's a little scary. I've seen a couple of those shows, and I think it was even called Hog Wild. And there's like this whole family would chase after him with pickup trucks and guns and lights and
what's wrong with you? What? What? How do they do? What? How?
Well, they're doing it to clear the pastures because they're killing other livestock and, or ruining fields or whatever the case is. But it was intense stuff. Those things, you get on the wrong side of those puppies, it's mean. So golfers are a little kind of wimpy sometimes on things anyway, but. On a 400-pound hog, it's okay to be a little
concerned. I've never seen anything. Do you remember when we were fishing in Alaska?
Yeah, sure.
And we saw those bear.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that bear story in the next show, too?
Of course we are.
Okay, perfect. I like it. I can't wait for the next show.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. Well, that's going to wrap up the back nine. This is Golf with Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN.
Urban Chestnut Brewing Company is proud to be an official sponsor of 101 ESPN's newest show, Golf with our friend Jay Delsing. Just like Jay, Urban Chestnut is born right here in St. Louis. With three local brewing and restaurant locations, you won't travel far to sample straight from the source. If you're heading out to the links this weekend, or if you're just in the mood for a classic German-style beer, grab a four-pack of our fresh, refreshing Zwickel Bavarian Lager wherever craft beers are sold. Urban Chestnut Brewing Company, St. Louis, Missouri. Prost!
Golf Discount is where St. Louis has shopped for all of its golf equipment needs since 1976. There are two locations in town, one in South County just off of Lemay Ferry, and one in O'Fallon at Highways K and N. Golf Discount is, and always will be, locally owned. They employ the most experienced golf staff you'll find anywhere in town. And if you're looking to get yourself some custom fit equipment, go to Golf Discount. They use the GC Quad Launch Monitor. This ensures you will always get the perfect fit you're looking for. Visit Golf Discount today.
It's time for the 19th hole on Golf with Jay Delsing. The 19th hole is brought to you by Mike Duffy's Pub and Grill.
Mike Duffy's Pub and Grill, the best burgers in town since 1986. Mike Duffy's Pub and Grill, the best burgers in town since 1986.
Welcome back to Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay. I got John here with me, and we are at our favorite part of this segment, the 19th hole. Want to thank Mike Duffy's for being our official sponsor of the 19th hole, and we are going straight to our next version of Whack and Chase.
Love it.
Fellas, the people can't get enough. Jerry is with us now for the next Whack and Chase.
Hey, Jerry, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. We're doing well.
Where are you calling in from, Jerry?
St. Petersburg, Florida today.
The Whack and Chase has made it to Florida.
Rubbing it in from Florida. That is, I love that St. Pete area.
Believe it or not, they have golf courses in Florida.
I bet they do.
Yeah.
Some awfully nice ones. I actually played University of South Florida my first year of college golf, and I kind of know that area very well. As a matter of fact, I've got fond memories of the Don Cesar down there. My buddies and I used to hop the fence from the beach and have a couple cold ones and hop back to the fence and back to the beach.
What is really? That? What is that?
It's Don Cesar. It's a great, big, famous hotel. Been around for forever. And in college, we thought that was a good place for us to hang out.
Couldn't walk in the front door.
We couldn't come in the front. We couldn't leave the front door, but we did get well, out.
You probably have to have money to come in the front door.
That's a problem.
And a little bit more than money. There's other issues we were missing as well. But, hey, let's get back to Jerry and Whack and Chase here. So on the show, just Jerry, what do you need help with your golf game? What can Jay help you with?
Oh, what do I not need help with? I mean, I've been a mess my whole life in golf. I mean, this show just lasts an hour, and then we ain't got time for all this, have we?
Well, we'll cut you off, Jerry, when we need to cut you off. But if there's one thing that kind of gets under your craw or that kind of sets up the other issues and challenges in the game, what is it? What do you need help with?
shifting my weight forward. I'm always on my back foot, and then I swing my arms to catch up, and it causes a whole mirror of problems.
Now, that is a great question. So is Jay's,
that is a great question.
So now we got to ask the key questions to give Jay the information beyond that that he can help you with. So one of the things we like to ask is, what's your favorite golf story? What's great, something great that happened in golf for you, or something that was really, I don't know, traumatic that happened in golf for you?
Oh, well, playing's traumatic. I guess there's that.
Got to narrow it down here a little bit.
Yeah, you got to narrow it down a little bit. I don't know. I've had a lot of fun. I've played. I got to play on the course at Augusta a few years ago. That was probably my best day of golf ever. 75 degrees. It was a beautiful walk. It's absolutely the holy grail of golf, and I guess that would be my fondest golf memory is walking and playing at the Augusta Country Club.
Jerry, what was your biggest takeaway? Because Augusta is a holy grail. I mean, is there one thing that sticks out in your mind from that experience?
Really, two things for me. One was just how absolutely immaculate everything is manicured. It's absolutely beautiful, and you see it on television, and it's twice as pretty in person. And then the elevation changes that you can't see on television when you're watching it. When you're walking it, the course is much more, they got much more elevation change than what you think it does when you're watching on television.
Jerry, the 10th hole is almost like you're skiing down there. It's so up and down. And the same with
exactly.
18. I felt exactly the same experience. I cannot believe how much elevation change there is just on the golf course in general, and then the greens were just insane.
They're so fast. They're like putting on concrete for me, because I'm used to stuff that's much, much slower, you know. So just watching them go from one side to the other.
Somebody stop that ball. I get.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Jerry, a little bit more info for Jay to help figure this out for you. So what do you shoot? What if you have a handicap, if you know it, or what do you generally shoot?
Yeah, I'm about a 20. I'm about a 20, so I'm going to shoot a really low 90s. Once in a while, I'll get lucky and get an 8 in front of it, but not very often. You know, get an 89 or something, but 92 somewhere in there. So, I'd really like to get it down in the 82, 85s. You know, that would be like the perfect day for me.
Does the struggle that you have, is it mostly off the tee, Jerry, or is it throughout the bag, just the whole weight shift thing and getting to your left?
Oh, it's throughout the bag. I can even manage to do it on a putter.
I gotta think about that for a second. Right, I gotta think about how the heck he pulls that one off.
Well, there's a guy. There's consistency for a guy right there. You gotta
love
that.
There you go.
Not if. When you fix Jerry here, just imagine when he's doing all that right with that weight shift, how that's gonna creep throughout the whole bag. So
what other sports did you play, Jerry? Did you play any other sports? Did you play any baseball?
Yeah, that's what's frustrating. I've played, everything. I've been sports my whole life. I've ran track. I did basketball. I did baseball. I don't necessarily know that I was all good at any of them, but I did them all.
None of your back foot you were any good at.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's so bad. Everything else, you know how to shift your weight. It's automatic, and you get a golf club in your hand, and your brain just locks up.
Well, that's a great point, because Jay will talk on this, and he relates it to pitching as well. You're initiating the action. You're in those other sports other than a pitcher in baseball, but pretty much any of the other positions, and it's kind of being initiated for you. But when you're starting that action, that's part of this piece, and you can get kind of frozen in there. So maybe he can kind of give you a little kickstart. Well, what else we need to ask, Jay? You got any off the top of your head, or are you ready to solve? I can see the wheels turning. He always likes to solve, and now he's got good information. Are you ready, or you got a couple more questions?
No, I think I can. We can go to solve. There's a couple of things that Jerry, how tall are you? Are you, when you hit a drive, how far does your drive go?
Wait a second. How tall is having to do with how far he hits the drive?
Yeah, what's that got to do with anything?
What is it? How about those little guys on tour that are hitting, like Rory McIlroy's hitting 350?
I'm not talking to Rory, am I? I'm talking to Jerry.
Yeah, but I want to understand the damn question.
Well, just sit down and shut up for a minute, and the answer will be given to you.
All right, I'll answer your question.
You remember the question, Jerry?
I don't remember it either, Jerry.
I'm, I'm 6'3", and I hit it a little over 200 yards on a good day.
Okay, so that's what I want to know. Because when you played baseball, where'd you hit in the order? Where did you bat? Did you bat in the top five, or did you hit more towards the
you were supposed to get the bat?
this reminds me of what was that guy's? What's it?
Brian. What's Brian's name?
Oh my!
What's that comedian's name? I don't remember, but I've never laughed so hard when you.
Brian Reagan.
Yeah. They were taking the bubble gum out of my pocket too. Just Brian Reagan.
Jerry knows Brian Reagan.
I think Brian said, you know, when he came to bat, that the outfielders came in so far from their position that one of them took the gum out of his pocket.
Yeah, bubble gum right out of his pocket. That's right. So, I don't remember. I don't remember, Jay. That's been 40 years ago.
Right,
you know, that's been
right.
a long time
well,
ago.
Here's what I was getting to, though. Loading up. So part of the whole issue with what you have is going to be the way that you load up your backside. It's the body moves in interesting ways, and if you don't load up properly on the backside, you're not going to be able to get through properly on the front side, meaning your left side. And why I asked you about baseball, if you were at all a power hitter in baseball, there you would know what it feels like to load up that backside. The lower body in a baseball swing and the golf swing is so similar. And so, Jerry, the way I'm going to try to help you here is that we got to get your weight shift back first. And what that looks like is your right knee stays stable. It doesn't move laterally. And your right butt cheek kind of goes almost back behind you to load up. It doesn't go you don't have any sort of sway or lateral motion. Okay, so that's what it's going to look like at the top of your swing. Your hips are going to be rotated a little towards the right part of the ball. My man Pearly is laughing so hard, Jerry. I don't know if you can hear that or not, but it's a tiny bit distracting for me. Anyway, I don't even know if this is going to work now. It is my show.
I'm trying to get the image of loading up the butt cheek and all that. It just threw me
Jerry,
for a second.
Can you do radio? Can you do radio? Jesus. All right, so, but as you load up, so that just as it's getting weight shifted into your right hip, and then as you go through, that your hips are going to turn, man, almost as quickly as you can, and you're going to put weight on your left foot and your right foot. My partner is leaving the studio. He's leaving the studio. He's off his chair. Oh, man, sorry to give you that image. He's not helping me with this all. But what I'm trying to get to is that you're going to address the ball with weight 50-50 on your right foot and left foot. As you make the turn back, you're going to get probably 90% of weight on your right knee in your right hip as you turn and you load up, okay? And then the first thing you got to do, Jerry, with your hands and everything still up behind your right ear in the top of your backswing, is you start turning. So you start shifting your weight from your right foot to your left. So you're going to change those weight numbers and go from 90% on your right to 10% on your left at the top of your swing. You got to change those, and you're going to go 90 on your left and 10 on your right, and your hips are going to come through turning as quickly as you possibly can. Jerry, if you can YouTube Rory McIlroy with his driver swing, it is the perfect model today. He is the ideal guy to watch and watch how his hips move. The problem is, like Pearly said, he's 5'7" or 5'8". You're 6'3". Dustin Johnson would be another one to watch because you might be able to relate a little more to him because he's a little taller and a little more lanky.
But, Jay, when you're missing some shots and then the guy tells you to really load it up, get everything really back there and be real aggressive, if you will, and complete that backswing, that's just hard to do because the confidence is low and you're right. Thinking you go all the way back there, you might miss the dang golf ball.
Right. What you need to do is you try this on the driving range, but there has to be a mindset that comes with this, because this was going to be the last thing that I add to this, Jerry, is you've got to almost give up. And this is hard for us. You got to give up control. You feel like, oh, man, this thing might go flying, you know, in places I don't even know where. And you're going to have to go, so what?
Oh, That's what my golf coach that I've used tells me. You got to give up control to get control, and that don't compute for me.
Nah, no.
Are you kind of a control guy in life a little bit, Jerry?
Maybe a little bit.
Well, Jay and I are as well, we can certainly relate to that. That you got the right. Who do you get lessons from? Is there anybody we would know?
Mike Monsell is when I can catch him. He's absolutely great and a lot of fun and lots of great stories.
Now, Jerry, he'll talk to you a lot. I know Mike Monsell. I've had a lesson from him. He's fantastic. He'll talk to you a lot about the biomechanics of the pitching and batting and the golf swing. And
honestly, everything you've just told me is stuff that him and I have been going over, and we're working on it, and it's getting better. It's getting better.
Well, you've got to start listening.
I spent years doing it wrong.
You got to start listening. You got Jay telling you that. You got Mike Monsell telling you that. It's time to start just doing it.
Yeah, it sounds so easy, doesn't it?
Yeah, when you don't have a club in your hand. Mike Monsell is all about linkage. Remember, he's all about linking, and it's all about the biomechanics, and he's good.
He's really good.
Yeah. Jerry, this is how we end the show. I really appreciate you calling in. If the information you got on Whack and Chase helps you, then tell everybody where you got it. Jay and John helped you. If it doesn't help you, tell them we never met.
Okay, I'll do it, guys.
Thanks, Jerry. Thanks so much.
Sounds good. All right, good talking to you. Have a great day.
Thanks, man. Bye-bye.
The Whack and Chase is really getting fun. We really enjoy the calls. Please keep the calls and emails coming in. And that's going to wrap up the show. That's going to do it for this version of Golf with Jay Delsing. Pearly, thanks for being with me.
Love it, Jay. Thank you.
Me, thanks for keeping us together. Whatever the heck you're doing, keep doing it because we enjoy it. And hit 'em straight, St. Louis.
That was Golf with Jay Delsing, brought to you by Whitmore Country Club. Tune in next Sunday for more from Jay, John, and the other pros and experts from the golf world. In the meantime, you can find all of Jay's shows at 101ESPN.com, as well as at jdelsinggolf.com.